This is my new favorite bouncy song.
It's fun.
It's good, isn't it? Thing is, I said to Siobhan this morning, I came in and I thought, I'll do an hour of reading everything you sent me. And instead, I did an hour of searching for my favorite music to use behind what I was talking.
Well, you see, it'll put everyone in the right mood.
Yeah, it's a bit more, but it is one of those really happy songs.
Yeah,
which
is.
You do love. You got to love happy. Listen, I have to tell you how many hours I spend on the internet in a day, and we'll go through the messages, and you can tell me whether I'm an addict or not, which is a bit of a scary thought, because I don't think I've been addicted to anything apart from cats for a while.
How many hours?
How many hours a day? I would say, if I combine it all... Okay, if I'm working, I would say, because all my audio is also internet-based, so I'd say if I'm working, I could say 6 to 7 hours. If I'm not working, probably 3 hours between social media and research.
Okay, so you'd be categorized as an average user.
Whew.
Yeah, so you know, you're good still. You know, some of the messages that we're getting, people using the internet or being online 14, 16, some people even saying 18 hours a day.
How can you use 18? When do you sleep?
Yeah.
Even if you take, you would have to take an hour for even going to the fridge to get something to eat and going to the bathroom and getting ready for bed and getting up. So that means this person is sleeping, what, 4 hours a night?
Well, again, it depends on, we don't have the information here, but it depends what kind of job they have, what their occupation is, the requirements of that occupation. Is this more social, or is it entertainment, or is it professional? So without that information, it would be hard to judge. One thing that I would like to share with our listeners is that those people who eat food in front of the monitor or in front of the screen, who don't take even 10 or 15 minutes off to just have their sandwich or to have a meal, can suffer in the long run from digestive problems. So if they're not, you know, taking 10, 15 minutes out of their schedule to just eat with a friend or even by themselves, sometimes going into a restaurant, I see lone eaters sitting down and they're having their sandwich and they're on the internet or iPad as well, or they're, you know, they're constantly connected to something else rather than just enjoying their food, and that can have serious sort of digestive issues later on in the future. So be careful. Take some time. Put some time aside. Aside from that, what happens is that the brains of internet addicts also changes. So when we look at or consider brain scans of those people who have been categorized as internet addicts, it resembles people who are addicted to other substances. And there was a Chinese research that found in 2010 abnormal white matter that tends to develop around nerve cells built in certain areas of the brain. So structural abnormalities in gray matter and shrinkage of 10 to 20% in the area of the brain responsible for processing of speech, memory, motor control, emotion, sensory or other information, and worse yet, you know, shrinkage of the ability to communicate, so the parts of the brain that are responsible for speech. Can you imagine if that is shrinking and your attention span is on, or you're thinking about, or you're more hyper-focused in looking at or being connected to the internet, what that essentially is doing is changing the way that we communicate.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was on the internet.
Well, but I'm glad you were able to articulate that sentence.
Thank you. Actually, one of the things I was going to ask was, if you can you have an addictive personality? So if you're going to, you know, you're likely to become addicted to something.
Yes. Yeah. The quick answer to that, without generalizing, of course, again, it would depend on that person's background, their personal sort of profile in terms of experience, life experiences, the family that they're born into, their cultural background, their physiological state of well-being. And there are people who are more susceptible to responding to certain impulses. And so addiction can come about as a result of our inability to control an impulse. So, for example, if we talk about nomophobia, which is a addiction
what? To gnomes, yeah, an addiction to gnomes.
Yeah, Gnomo what? You know, is the general response to that. It is an addiction to mobile telephones. Okay, so or feeling when you have this sort of panic that you feel if your phone is not around. It's this irrational fear of thinking that, for example, you're not connected, your mobile phone is not on, you don't have reception, you've forgotten your phone somewhere or you've misplaced it, and it is that level of nervousness and stress that goes that soars when we feel that way. So a lot of us might have that initial impulse of, I don't have my phone with me, let me turn around and go back home and get it. Now again, Alex, some people, their career depends on it. Mm. They have to have their phone with them. While there are other individuals who have become so reliant on the phone that they actually feel absolutely, you know, just naked without it. And so they can't resist the impulse of, I need my phone next to me. I need to have it on. I need to be connected. So I'm going to turn around, increase the time of my journey, you know, delay what I was going to do, postpone what I was going to do to go get my phone from the house. And that's excessive.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really surprised because I had I was working in a job and I had my phone, my BlackBerry for work. It never stopped. It put me off having a phone. Mm-hmm. So when I finished the job a couple of months ago, mm-hmm, and my contract came to an end, the best thing about the whole lot was handing back the BlackBerry. And it not, I mean, I felt a little bit lost, yes, for a few days, but also or maybe even a few weeks, but I was also relieved. Now, I keep checking my phone, wondering why I've got so much credit, mm-hmm, on my phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's lasted me like 2 weeks being abroad, and probably 4 weeks, and I'm still not using it. So I'm obviously not communicating with people to the same extent that I was. Obviously, a lot of that's business.
Mm-hmm. So it's gone down. Mm. So you've reduced your, yeah.
So I'm not a nomophobic.
You're not a nomophobic. Good. So we know you're not an internet addict and you're not a nomophobic. Let me share some more numbers with you cross-culturally. So apparently half of the people in the world are expected to have mobile phones in the next 2 years. So more than half of the people in the world. The Helsinki Institute for Information of Technology found that on average people check their phones between 34 and 38 times throughout the day. That's an average.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You know, it's amazing. If we think statistically, you said in the next couple of years, it's expected that 50% of the entire world's population will have a phone. Mm-hmm. I was surprised a few years ago when I found out it was less than 50%. Because if you think about it, most people that we know,
yes,
no matter what they do for a living,
Or how old they are,
have a mobile phone.
Yeah, that's right.
So that just goes to prove that there are certain places in the world that generally still do not communicate in the same,
mm-hmm,
way.
Right.
Because 50%, you know, when you think about it, it's very difficult to think out of 20 people you know that 10 of them wouldn't have some sort of communication,
yes,
device.
That's true. But also, if you put it in reference in terms of the time, the speed at which this is spread. So as early as 10 years ago, the number would have been so much less, you know, than in the last 10 years, how much this has increased and the numbers that it's gone up to. There's a syndrome that is referred to as phantom vibration syndrome. And apparently, not only do we think so much about our phones and we check our phones so much that oftentimes we imagine that it's beeping or, yeah, it's ringing,
yeah,
or that it's, and people might even feel compelled to tell somebody else if their phone is ringing, to tell them your phone is ringing, or want to go answer it for them because we've become hardwired.
And have you, yeah, noticed when you have a conversation with somebody and somebody's phone beeps, everybody, yeah, stops.
Right.
It's like there's a really loud plane has just gone over.
That's true. That's
have
true.
To just pause.
That's true. But, you know, I think we really need to talk about that a little bit more. It's interfering with our real social interaction. People's phone etiquette has to really be checked, you know, over here. So we've got 4 out of 10 young adults in Spain are considered mobile phone addicts. Okay, so they've been categorized as such. 48% of Spaniards between 18 and 25 spend more than 4 hours a day talking and texting on the phone. In South Korea, where we have 40 million people from a total population of 49 people have mobile phones, and the government has actually considered a curfew limiting the amount of time people spend on their phones.
Wow.
Because it's so excessive. And phone addiction, especially smartphone addiction, is amongst the highest in that country. So psychologists are predicting that mobile addiction will become one of the biggest issues over the next 5 years that needs to be combated and looked at.